Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Avi. I am the operations and creative arts pastor here at Hope City. And I have some tissues up here, and I might get teary. God has been working on turning my heart of stone into a heart of flesh in the last couple of years, and I am humbled by what God is doing here at Hope City. I am humbled by the presence that we get to experience. I am humbled that 35 people are back there getting ready to be baptized. 35 people. And so I might just have to take a cry break. I don't usually cry, but the tissues have just been living in my pocket the last couple months, and that just is what it is. But man, this morning, God did some incredible things already in first service, and you can still feel his presence here because we're talking about things that are hard. We're talking about forgiveness this morning. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiving people is hard, and Holy Spirit is here this morning as the comforter, as conviction, holy conviction starts talking to you about things that you might not have forgiven yet. And so we're in our foundation sermon series. We do this every year after Hope City's birthday, talking about what Hope City is built upon. And forgiveness is one of the pillars of Hope City. Forgiveness should be a pillar of every Christian life, every Christian's life, every Christian walk. Forgiveness should be a pillar. And so far, we've talked about our mission. Can anyone tell me our mission? Love God, love people. We've talked about how we handle conflict, and in true Hope City fashion, here's forgiveness. We've talked about forgiveness since day one at Hope City. We've done soul care. This is one of many messages we've done on forgiveness. And so today, you're going to hear my voice, but more importantly, you're going to hear God's voice on forgiveness. More importantly, you're going to see what God says and what Jesus says about forgiveness, because you've heard our voices. You've heard the pastoral staff's voices on forgiveness. And there is some weight to God's word about forgiveness. And so I'm going to have you open, if you have your Bible with you, or if you have the Bible app, I'm going to have you open to Matthew 18:21. We're just going to open this up a little bit. Forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that we have been given and shown by God. Forgiveness is mentioned 117 times in the Bible as a noun. So the act of pardoning an offense or offender, the release from debt or penalty, or the readiness to forgive. And it's mentioned 109 times as a verb, to give up resentment, or to claim requital, to grant relief from payment. It's mentioned a total of 226 times throughout the Bible. In Genesis, we see the result of the first sin. And with the first sin, we see the first time God provided us as humans forgiveness and mercy, showing that he doesn't abandon humanity even when they cause suffering. In the Old Testament, we see God's forgiveness time and time again to the Israelites, who he led out of Egypt. He led to freedom. He gave battles to. He gave cities to. And time again, he had to redirect the Israelites back to his heart after they sinned, after they followed other gods. God continually was like, okay, come back. Come back to me. He never at any point was like, nope, this is too much. Y'all have done too much. Y'all have done it this time. I'm gone. And in the New Testament, we see the ultimate price that was paid for forgiveness. God gave us his one and only son to pay a debt that we could never earn, that we do not deserve, for us. Grace was given through Jesus Christ. And forgiveness is a hot topic in the world today. I'm going to read, I was doing some studying on just that word forgiveness and how it plays out in our culture today. And I want to read a quote from this. The modern word, The modern world has mixed feelings about forgiveness, with some viewing it as a positive tool for personal and societal well-being, while others and most see it as an outdated or even harmful concept that enables accountability to be ignored. Arguments for forgiveness highlight its benefits for individual mental and physical health, stress reduction, and fostering reconciliation. Conversely, opposing views suggest that a focus on cancel culture or revenge culture has replaced forgiveness, and that modern society prioritizes individual needs and the pursuit of justice over the reconciliation and emotional freedom that forgiveness offers. That's deep. Our society prioritizes individual needs in our pursuit of justice over reconciliation and emotional freedom that comes from the forgiveness of others. In a study done in 2019 from the Barna Group, 1/4, 23% of Christians, of people that claim to follow Jesus, say that they have someone in their life that they just simply can't forgive. That means 1/4 of the people in this room today, you could look at me and say, yeah, that person, I will never be able to forgive what they did.
Wow.
And in 2010, a survey found that 60% of Americans, and this was 15 years ago, I would probably say it's higher even now, would only consider forgiving someone after the offender apologized and made changes. You had to prove that you wouldn't do that to me again before I will offer my forgiveness to you. Those numbers gave me pause as I was doing this, as I was studying and researching.
Yeah.
And all I could hear in the back of my mind when I heard those numbers was Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In a world that does not see the value, teach the practice, or walk in forgiveness, it's important that us, the church, are willing to hold up the pillar of forgiveness. As we head into this portion of scripture, I want to read a passage from Micah that expresses praises to God for his nature as a forgiving and merciful God who pardons the sins of his people. He doesn't stay angry forever, but takes delight. He delights in showing mercy and compassion. Micah 7:18 through 19 says, "Where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Our sins are not held against us. Our sins, he doesn't keep us stacked and says, okay, it's getting kind of high. Okay, you better watch out. Okay, look at what you did back then. Are you going to do it again? No, he tramples them under his feet and he throws them into the depths of the ocean. As we head into this portion of scripture, Matthew 18, 21 through 35, I want to read it. It is the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more time. 'Be patient with me and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. he had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" The angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. "That is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Man, and I think that right there, I could just drop the mic and be done. Jesus' words were so clear. But there was three things that I pulled from this passage. And the first one is lose count to gain freedom. Matthew 18:21-22 says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. That is a large number. Jesus asked Peter to forgive 490 times. And I think here Jesus is using a metaphorical number because what he's really asking of us is to not keep score at all. I think our flesh would like us to believe that we need to keep score when someone wrongs us because we need to be able to, if we are in trial, we need to be able to say, well, this person did this, 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 this. That's why. That's why I won't forgive them. That's why I can't work with them. That's why I don't want to be friends with them. But what Jesus is asking you for is the discipline and the restraint to not keep score when someone wrongs you. That's a discipline. That's a practice that has to be grown. That's a muscle that has to be trained. Could you imagine looking at someone and saying, "Okay, that is 469 times that you've hurt me. Or 489 times that you've hurt me. You have one more chance. Jesus told me to forgive you one more time." No. Listen, I've lived in seasons where I have counted the wrongs. I have lived in seasons where I have held the wrongs against other people. It's exhausting. Yes, it is. That is destructive. Yeah. That is hurtful. And it is only by the grace of God that we are still together to this day, that we're still friends to this day. It takes space to hold unforgiveness. It takes emotional capacity to hold unforgiveness. Unforgiveness holds you in a cell of bitterness, anger, hurt that limits your ability to move forward. And it is one of the greatest hindrances that is blocking you from moving forward in God's call on your life. God cannot make you, force you out of that prison cell. He can't take your hand and drag you. Yep. This is one that you have to get out of yourself. Yeah. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love." Paul is not talking about a surface level like, "Oh, I can stand you now. Like, okay, I don't want to punch you in the face every time I see you now." He's talking about the depths of Christ's love. The love that would go on the cross and take on the punishment that was meant for us kind of love. And some people might, in this room today, might say, "A.B., I'm good. I have forgiven." And tomorrow you're going to walk into a workplace and see a coworker and is like, "I still want to throat punch you. My skin still crawls every time I see you." That's a sign to me that you have not forgiven. You still have more. Yep. And it might not even be just because of this coworker. This coworker could have said something to you that triggered a hurt that came all the way back from childhood when your mom and dad would say the same thing to you. Yep. When your mom and dad would belittle you, that coworker said something similar and it goes all the way down to the root. Forgiveness is very rarely just a surface level thing. We will fail one another. It's not an if, it's a when. It's not a maybe, it's a will. We will fail. We will sin against one another. But we as Christians, we as people that follow Jesus, must be the example of forgiveness in a culture where canceling, cutting people out, and creating healthy boundaries is easier than forgiving. In a culture that says, yeah, people aren't that important. It's okay, you can just cut them out, other people will come. Jesus is asking us to be the models of forgiveness. What does it look like to love people, to give the grace to people, to the depths of Christ's love? If forgiveness is something that you struggle with, I believe that there is probably an open gash in your soul that you have slapped a Band-Aid on and hoped that it would heal on its own. A gash that needed medical attention, that needs some real attention. You've like, Band-Aid up and we're good. Don't need to deal with it. It'll be fine. Places that people have hurt you, places that you've been abused, words that have been said against you. You have pushed them down, you have ignored them, and you have hoped and prayed they would just go away. Your wound is causing pain in every area of your life. That wound is getting on every area of your life. Unforgiveness affects every single area of your life. We're going to address that more at the end. But I believe even as I was saying that, God's like speaking. Like, oh, yep, that clicked. Keep that name in your head. Point number two, understanding the parable. Let's read that parable one more time. And I've highlighted some things that help understand the gravity of the situation. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In that process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, or in that time, 10,000 talents, which was roughly 150,000 years worth of wages. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell before his master and begged, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, 100 denarii, which was only equal to 100 days' wage. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. We've talked about parables a lot as we've gone through Matthew. Jesus used parables quite a bit in order to take biblical principles and apply them to the day that they were living in. So Jesus wanted to make a point to the disciples of just how insurmountable the debt that the servant owed the ruler was. There's drama and shock factor in that story. When I see those numbers, 150,000 years worth of debt. That's crazy. Who would lend out that amount of money? And then you are willing to throw a man in jail for 100 days worth of wages? You were just forgiven a debt that you would never, ever, ever be able to pay back. That man was never going to be able to pay back 150,000 years worth of wages. We are all in debt. A debt that we will never be able to repay. A debt that is incomprehensible. That there's no sense or reason why we were given that amount of grace. Why we were given that amount of space. Colossians 3, 12 through 13 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Because the servant refused to forgive his fellow man, he was sent to prison for the rest of his life. The servant would never, ever, ever be allowed out. He could never repay that debt. And in the same way, the Lord will choose to not forgive us. In the same way, that is how God views unforgiveness in our hearts. The last thing that I pulled out is God's way beats culture's way. Matthew 18:35 says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. I don't have much words to add on that. I have other Bible passages, though, that I'm going to read to you. From Jesus' own words, from Paul's own words, from King David's own words. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Psalms 139 through 11 says, you, God, don't look at us only to find our faults, just so then you can hold a grudge against us. You may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we really deserve. Nor do you get even with us for what we've done, higher than the highest heavens. That's how high your tender mercy extends. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's a cost to unforgiveness. And as I was preparing this, I could see how in our hearts, every time we let unforgiveness stand, it takes a piece of your heart of flesh and turns it into a heart of stone. It hardens your heart to even the voice of God. It makes it hard for him to be able to point out like, hey, it's time. Hey, this person deserves your forgiveness. Your heart of stone blocks out even the voice of God. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands. Friends, don't let the culture confuse you of the importance of unforgiveness. You don't need the world's approval when you are on heaven's assignment. Woo! Forgiveness doesn't need the world's approval when you're on heaven's assignment. That's right. And even as we are seeing undignified, the world will never understand forgiveness. People that do not follow Jesus will never understand the depths that forgiveness should go. And there's people even in this room that you need some godly counsel. For a long time, you have culture pushing you towards unforgiveness. A lot of you know our story, but when Darren and I were first engaged, there was infidelity in our relationship. And I worked in a secular workplace. And I can't tell you the amount of people that told me, you're stupid. You're staying? That's stupid. He doesn't deserve you to stay. He doesn't deserve this. I needed people to come and lift my arms and say, if this is what Jesus is asking of you to do, we're behind you. Some of you have people that are like pushing you over here. Yeah, they don't deserve it. Yeah, what they did was wrong, and you can cut them out and never talk to them again. But what you need is some godly, some wise counsel that says, no, wherever Jesus leads you, that's where we're going. Whatever Jesus asks you to do, we're here. We're lifting your arms up. That battle will be won. We need some Aarons and some Miriams to come along and lift your arms. You need some Miriams and some Aarons that say, nope, whatever God asks you to do, it doesn't matter. I'll stay here for a year. I'll lift your arms up for a year. You don't need the world's approval when you're on heaven's assignment. And listen, if the last couple of weeks has brought anything to the surface, is that we have no idea when our last day will be. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. And God made it very, very clear that if we have unforgiveness in our heart, we will not enter the gates of heaven. And I do not want to see anyone that I love, as I'm walking into the gates of heaven, be turned away because they were not willing to forgive, or they were never given the opportunity to forgive. Friends, today's your opportunity. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the next breath. I need to see all of you in heaven. It's my mission to see all of you in heaven. Unforgiveness will not stand in this house. Unforgiveness will not stand in the presence of God, but I want you to.
Yeah. Come on.
And so this morning, there's even areas in your heart that unforgiveness has caused you to question your identity. That people have hurt you so bad, and that area has become so calloused that your identity has been in question. And right now, I need to squash a lie. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High. You are wanted. You are chosen. You are loved. And while things that have happened to you should have never happened, our Father is here willing to make all things good. Everything that is done can be turned for His good, for our good and His glory. And so this morning, where hurt has even led you to believe lies about yourself, I believe God is depositing new identities as we choose to forgive. And then this morning, if you are in this house and you say, you know what, Pastor Evie, I want to forgive. However, I have not yet been forgiven. I still need to make a choice for Jesus. I'm going to invite every eye to be closed and every head to be bowed. And if that's you this morning, you said, Pastor Avi, first I need to be forgiven. First I need to experience the depths of Christ's love for me. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Yeah, one, come on, come on. Two, three, four, five, come on. Six, come on. Seven, come on, come on. Man. All of heaven is rejoicing, and so are we, for the best decision that you could possibly make. Hope, today I'm going to ask you to stand up. And let's pray. Let's repeat this prayer together.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.